This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we are halfway home on a Wednesday, I do believe. Mahalo, everybody, or aloha,
for the rest
say.
Of us, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Wednesday for you guys. This is, I told Hannah this morning, I said, this is a nice short week for me this week. Short show tomorrow, right?
Correct, with the assuming no rain out. Yeah, Padres have a 9:40 start, 8:40 pregame show tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll be giving way to Sammy Leavitt about 30 minutes from now in 24 hours.
Piece of cake.
As fun as it's been to have you back after today, I'll see you on Tuesday.
Yeah, oh. Paulie's heading out on vacation
finally get
as well.
The crew back together, and yeah, we got two more hours, and then Paulie's going on vacation for three shows.
We've got the Kluganator is going to be Baldrindel, as it were, is going to be filling in the next couple of days. Our beloved brand manager Adam Klug, he is Swiss Army knife of the radio station. Certainly, I'm Woodsy, also known as Kiwi in Hawaii, and we've got Paolo. Paulie, the executive
Aloha.
Producer, and we've got Penai, Ben.
Penny.
Penai.
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 Yes,
like Penai.
Multiple penis.
Those are our Hawaiian names.
Those are our Hawaiian names. So, it's good to be back. It's good to be back with you guys. I was thinking about it. We always say this anytime you travel anywhere. It does lessen the sting a little bit, leaving a place like Kauai. And then flying into San Diego, we landed, the weather was perfect. Just beautiful, driving into our neighborhood, getting into our home, sleeping on our own beds. It was great. But I imagine flying back to Akron, you know, after being in Kauai. You're like, oh,
yeah,
God, this really sucks.
Coming back to San Diego definitely lessens the sting.
Yeah, it lessens
returning
the sting.
From vacation.
It eases you a little bit when you fly home. But I had to tell you guys about this because when we got settled into our house, which is like an Airbnb vacation rental. It's beyond stunning. There was a book on the coffee table. It was a coffee table book, and it was called Taylor Camp. Now, my three-year-old is learning his letters, and he's starting to read, and he certainly recognizes his name when he sees it. So he was delighted.
This was something left for him personally,
possibly. It wasn't left for him personally. It just happened to be there.
But he might have thought that.
He was like, this is unbelievable. Book data, Taylor. I said, absolutely. Let's crack it open and see what Taylor Camp's all about. Well, Ben, Taylor Camp was a small settlement established in the spring of 1969, the Summer of Love, on the island of Kauai, covered an area of 7 acres. And now it began with 13 hippies seeking refuge from the...
I mean, Kauai is still remote now. But
yeah.
Back then, it was truly the ends of the earth.
Truly. The jungle, really, as it were. It began with 13 hippies seeking refuge from the ongoing campus riots and police brutality in the United States. They were arrested for vagrancy. But Howard Taylor, brother of movie star Elizabeth Taylor, bailed them out of jail, invited them to settle on this beachfront property that he owned. So we start thumbing through Taylor Camp, the book. Well, Taylor Camp also happened to be a nudist colony.
So, oh, boy.
We are, at the beginning, it's, oh, here's their tree houses that they lived in. Oh, there's this guy's dong just chilling. And Taylor, my Taylor, starts cackling, and he starts laughing like you wouldn't believe. Dada, look! And then, look, he's pointing at pictures. If you're in the chat, it does a little bit better. There's a naked. There's naked women in there, and he is having the time of his life. And this is like the first day we're there. Let's just say that I caught him thumbing through the Taylor Camp book on more than one occasion the whole time he was there.
You're going to have to hide it at some point from him.
I really didn't think to hide it. I didn't want to mess with it. But he had a field day.
So first
day.
You had the birds and the bees.
The book that he brought.
From the lending library in your
correct.
Neighborhood. And now you've got Taylor Camp.
Dude, there's all sorts of nudity. All sorts of nudity.
Yeah, I mean, you may be sending Taylor down
I didn't send him down anything. You know, every kid is curious, and he is very, very curious. Let's put it that way. And we really, really had a fun time. And Hannah and Susie actually went up to the area where Taylor Camp was, and they ended up, once people got kind of tired of that nudist colony being there, well, they did what they do on Kauai. They burned it down.
So, you're telling us about this.
I'm not joking when I say this. And my father-in-law has been going there since, like, forever. And we would pass these things on the street, and I would go, what's that? With all, like, the kind of construction wrapping around it. I go, what is that? He goes, oh, that was a hotel some people tried to build, and the natives burned it down. And I said, well, what's that over there? Oh, that's another place that they burned down. When they don't like something there, they just burn it down. I mean, really, like, imagine your neighborhood where you live now, and somebody puts up an adult video store. Now, instead of picketing or writing...
We have zoning regulations and stuff here, but they just go...
Imagine if...
Yeah, go ahead, build it. If we don't like it, we'll just torch it.
Yeah, you live in Encinitas, and they put up an adult bookstore down on the corner. Now, you could be upset about it, and you could write your congressman and your mayor and whatever. Not there. No, they just go, hey, let's torch this place and be done with it. They've done it a bunch. I mean, there's a bunch of things around it. They're like, oh, we don't like this development, so we're gonna burn it down. And so
that's
just go torch
one way
it.
To do it.
It's one way to do it. It's one way to do it.
Jeffrey in the chat had a question about your Taylor Camp book. He wants to know, how many peni were in this book?
There was a lot of peni, more than I really would have liked to see. Now, again, remember, too, you're talking about 1969 peni, and that is a totally different look than...
Well, technically, it's the same.
It's not, though. There's grooming. There's not a lot of...
Sure.
They didn't have the manscaper.
But we haven't evolved as a species. I mean, man in 1969 would look exactly like man in 2024 without...
Maybe you. It would look different
choices.
Than me.
It's just the choices you make.
Let's put it this way. If I posed in the treehouse as this man posed in the treehouse, it would look different than how this guy looked. You may look the same. That's a matter of personal preference. But I would look different than this guy looked. But yeah,
he looked it up on Amazon. Taylor Camp book.
Yeah,
you can get a hardcover edition for $125.
Yeah, $125.
And there is a topless woman on the cover.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And Dill on Twitter just
see
says,
that, Ben? See, what does that do for you?
This is actually incredible. Dill on Twitter says, LMAO, my aunt was a part of Taylor Camp. And,
what?
And is in that book. Dill, I've seen your aunt nude, and you might have as well. What a small world it truly, truly is. Now, I was worried he might try to sneak that book into... It's a big coffee table book. It's big.
You can carry see on luggage.
Carry on. He's carrying it under his arm. But I got
to
make...
No, you need to leave that for the next guests of the Airbnb to enjoy.
Correct. I need to get a shirt made for him, a Taylor Camp shirt, because we laughed so hard. And I would look over, and there he is, thumbing through there. I'm like, bro, I don't know, one way to do it, but it was one of the highlights of the trip for sure.
That is, but so there was no actual nudist camps there. You didn't go to any clothing optional beaches or anything? Because when you tweeted it, I was going, where are they taking Taylor
in
Kauai that it's clothing optional?
I was... You know, there's outdoor showers everywhere, like by in our house, and so we would go to the beach and then come home, and everyone would just go get in the outdoor shower. But yeah, you're nude a lot there. You feel very comfortable and free being nude walking around in Kauai.
You guys do that at your own house.
Yeah, we kind of do.
We're kind of
like nudists a little bit, at least in the comfort of our own home. But yeah, it was a little odd. It was a little odd, that book, and an interesting choice, certainly.
No, I'm glad you're back.
It's great to be back.
It's good to have you.
Mm-hmm.
We missed you, but I must say, things went pretty well while you were gone. Padres did their part of the equation.
That's what I was most nervous about.
Paulie, we never had to talk really about a loss. They had the one loss while you were gone was the Friday game, which
yeah,
was the
so
start
you didn't
of
have
our
to
weekend.
Talk about
so
it.
We blazed right over that.
We touched on it briefly on Monday, but because they ended up winning Saturday and Sunday, it just felt like a... Just don't look like a one-off, you know, Rockies had a few balls fall in, whatever. Move on from that one. But really, it's been such a nice string. Now, we usually give you a chance to, like, bring something up from while you were gone. Like, you said you watched the games. Is there anything in particular that caught your eye or attention while you were on vacation that you wanted to bring up?
It's got to be Mike Schilt just outmanaging Dave Roberts and watching Dave Roberts just completely.
That was the first game you missed.
Yeah,
that was Tuesday
that was
night.
Last Tuesday.
I mean,
were you able to follow that? Like,
oh,
that
I watched it.
Okay.
I watched it. So that was the day we traveled.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I called you guys
you the,
next
call us
day,
the next day.
And I think
yeah.
I might have brought it up. Yeah. I think I did bring it up. But that to me was my favorite moment when I was gone. Watching the, like, is this your first game managing?
It was unbelievable.
Your first day? That was brilliant. The other thing, did you guys talk about some of the teams that decided to do nothing at the trade deadline, like the Angels and like the Rockies?
I had a whole segment where I lit up the Rockies for like, are you even paying attention? What do you not understand?
What do you do here?
How
we were
this
very
works?
Confused with the Giants. Like, so are you? Buying
half
or
selling,
but selling?
You're keeping Blake Snell.
Right.
What, he goes
what,
and throws a no-no
a no-no
on Friday.
That's right. The Blake Snell no-no happened when I was gone. Yeah, that's kind of the thing I wanted to bring up was, like, if you're a Rockies fan or you're an Angels fan, you had all of these pieces that certainly people called about, and you did
Cal
nothing.
Quantrill.
That is, that, dude, it's malpractice. No. Perry Manasian, malpractice. Now, again, I think with Perry... Nobody really knows how much authority he has. If it's Artie Moreno, I don't want to trade this guy. I don't want to trade this. They did. They traded one person. They traded Estevez, I think, maybe. But they had so
Phillies.
They had so many other movable pieces that they didn't get anything back for, and they're on expiring contracts. Like that's
Tyler Anderson didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that they did. So that was. But my favorite moment when I was gone was the very flummoxed. Dave Roberts
I talked to Mike Schilt about that on Friday, and I think he didn't want to take credit for it, but I think he appreciated that it was noticed by the fan base.
Oh yeah, man!
How well that was executed by his team.
I can't remember. You called in that next morning, and it was like as you were hanging up, you just were like very tongue in cheek. I think you said something like, "Hey, you know, I'm just going to give Dave the benefit of the doubt."
Yeah, yeah.
Hadn't been around the game very long.
Right. Yeah, first couple games. So, yeah, that was such an awful look.
We kept played the audio the next morning. He was asked about it, and he basically said, I didn't know the rule.
Just what every general manager, owner, fan wants to hear from a team that spent $1 billion to get better in the offseason, now four games ahead of the San Diego Padres, breathing down their neck. Pretty nuts. So that was special. I was, again, my favorite thing was how well the guys played when I was gone. Because
that first game was one of the most electric games I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It was unbelievable.
It really was incredible.
Cough up five in the first.
Yep.
And then shut them out the rest of the way, fight and claw. Manny had like two or three... web gems
yeah.
in third, and then
the
bomb
going into the dugouts.
Yep, he had the bomb to lead off the nine.
Incredible,
and you're still like, oh, we're still down one, and then
yeah.
Jackson Merrill just rises to the occasion as he has time and time again. Unbelievable!
It was incredible. It was an incredible win, and very, very proud of those fellas as well as they're playing right now. And Michael King's on the bump tonight. Go out and you win this series tonight. You know, you win the series tonight against Pittsburgh. Michael King's been great. Keep being great. And we'll see what happens.
And usually the pressure has been kept on by some of the other wild card contenders, but it was a good night last night. I want to go through some of the other action that happened in Major League Baseball because there were a couple of significant developments in MLB last night. We can get into that coming up next. And then Brett Boone is going to join us at the bottom of the hour as we continue our Big League Wednesday. Don't miss a minute of it. Stay tuned. More Ben and Woods coming up after a check of Kelly's traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So for the first time all season, just in time for Woods' return, Padres are alone atop the wild card standings. Number one spot after the results yesterday. The Padres win, of course, but the Atlanta Braves were shut out by the Milwaukee Brewers 10-0. They continue to slide. Colin Ray went 7 shutout innings. He's 10-3.
Good
just
Lord.
Another one of those Padre old Padres out there. The Diamondbacks got rained out, so they'll play a doubleheader today, but they, you know, fell a half game behind the Padres because of that. And then the Dodgers also lost 6-2. Mentioned that earlier, so the Padres just 4 games back in the National League West. Cardinals did win 4-3 behind Sonny Gray over the Rays, but the Mets lost too. The Rockies helping everybody out with a 6-3 win over the Mets. So there's now 2.5 games of separation, which isn't a ton, but from the Padres to the first non-playoff spot, which is the New York Mets.
Yep.
Not any chance to get comfortable or like, okay, we can cruise.
No.
But pretty much this entire time, even when the Padres have been holding on to a playoff spot, they've always been like one day from, yeah, you lose and everybody wins,
you're out again.
All right. The tiniest bit of breathing room right now. Not time to obviously take your foot off the accelerator, but you keep winning and good things happen in the standings. But there were a couple of other interesting results yesterday in Major League Baseball. How about this one? White Sox 5, A's 1. The first win for the White Sox since July 10th. 21-game losing streak, tying the American League record, is over. They got the win yesterday. God, held on.
You're so pissed if you're the A's. You're like, why us? Why did it have to be
I mean, they
us?
Are the second worst team in baseball.
True.
They're 20 games in front of the White Sox, who are the worst team in the American League. I mean, if they're ever going to beat someone, you'd think the A's would be a good candidate for it.
We talked about it, I think, yesterday. I mean, it's over. They won, so it doesn't matter now. But, like, when you're at 21 and the record was, what was it, 23? Like, we were talking, if you're a White Sox fan.
Yeah, you want it.
At a certain point in those 21 games, you're kind of just rooting
for it. Yeah, you want, if you're going to be the poster children
for
futility.
In the moment, you want it, but you want to always, like, in 10 years when a team loses 17 in a row, then, well, remember, the longest streak, it belongs to those 2024 Chicago White Sox.
You want to feel the pain.
You don't want to have
it. You do.
I'm with you.
You
don't want to have it brought up over and over again for decades, possibly, that you have the record.
When I used to get broken up with, I would listen to the saddest music. I would not listen to Bobby McFerrin when I would have a heartbreak. I wouldn't be listening to Bob Marley and like, don't worry. I would listen to The Cure and sad music. I wanted to feel it, every bit of it. And that's how I would absolutely want the record. And it's something that the fans can absolutely throw in Reinsdorf's face and Pedro Grifol, like, you led the worst team in baseball history. They also had like a 15-game losing streak as well. I mean, imagine a 21-gamer and a 15-gamer in the same season. Speaking of not being able to rest, Ben, this is the tweet that Sammy Levitt sent a couple days ago that has had me thinking nonstop, and it was a really well-worded tweet. And he says, the Padres have 49 games remaining. This is a couple days ago. They play 6 against Pittsburgh, 4 against New York, 3 games against St. Louis, 6 against San Francisco, and 3 games against Arizona. 50% of their remaining games are against teams in this photo, and of course, it's a photo of the NL wildcard standings. Holy crap. I know it's tense. I didn't really, till that tweet came out, I didn't really realize how tense it's going to be. It's going to be tense. It's going to be live and die with this team, as it would be for a lot of us anyway. But holy smokes, man, these games are huge.
Yeah, starting with this series, mentioned it yesterday, that this is the last kind of shot for the Pirates to get back in it. You know, they probably were thinking sweep. Hey, if we sweep, we are still in this thing. Oh, well, yeah. Now it's they've already lost the first game. They lose either the next two, they're 500. They lose both of them, they're two games under 500. They're essentially, they're done. They're cooked. They're toast. So, but you're going to face other teams like that. And I think Sammy corrected, there's actually four games against the Cardinals. But, you know, the Mets have already swept you, so they've kind of got that advantage there. I'm sure the Mets are looking at, hey, we can catch, all we have to do is tie the Padres. We'll have the tiebreaker on them if we take care of business against them. There's a lot of teams looking at the Padres as an opportunity to make up ground now. Like, hey, we've got head-to-head matchups against the teams ahead of us.
Sure.
That's what you want.
That's what you want.
When you're three or four games back in a wild card race. The Giants are thinking it. The Mets are thinking it. The Cardinals are thinking it. They all have an opportunity and have the Padres circled on their schedule the rest of this season. So.
Yeah, not because they're rollover games, but because it's head-to-head. And yeah, I mean, the Padres are doing the same thing. I mean, if you're Mike Shildon, you're the leadership of the team, you absolutely want to have those games against those teams because you control your own destiny.
Now, you also have six left against the Marlins and the White Sox, which
right.
makes you nervous. The two teams that sold off that should have nothing left, you feel like you go 5-1 and you're kind of giving up a game almost. Like,
oh yeah.
5-1's great, but
it's great.
It almost is not enough. Like, you go 4-2, that's a failure.
Yeah, yeah.
In those six games. You go 3-3, that's an epic failure. So those are kind of pressure packed games as well starting this weekend.
I'm gonna prank call
in Miami.
Skip every night. I'm gonna try to keep him up all night. Just texting him and sending him pizza and stuff to his house. We have his address, I think. Yeah.
Couple of other results from last night. Did you see the home run that C.J. Abrams hit?
Pitching his eyes?
My goodness. 96 or 7. Like,
at his
up
eyes.
At his eyes. And he somehow turned around on it, like outside corner 97 at the face. And he hits a home run on that ball. And then James Wood hit a long one as well. But guess what? They beat the Giants, so fine. I don't care. That actually helps everybody in the wild card race. And Framber Valdez had a no-hitter. Two outs in the ninth inning. Would have been his second no-hitter in the last two seasons. Threw one last year as well. With two outs in the ninth, the Rangers' Corey Seager hit a home run, a two-run homer, actually, with a guy on base to break up the no-no. On the last possible moment, but the Astros did beat the Rangers 4-2 in that game.
Whew, I have not even followed the American League really at all much lately. I have no idea what's going on in the races over there.
So the Yankees just caught the Orioles. They're back a half game ahead after their long slump. They've kind of started playing better again, and the Orioles have started slumping. The Mariners and the Astros remain kind of neck and neck, just barely above 500. Neither of them are in the kind of wild card picture at the moment, both like a few games out, I think four games out. So they're kind of playing for the division. And then the wild card race, it's the Orioles. They got a 4.5 game lead. And then it's the Twins, Royals, and Red Sox essentially competing for those last two spots right now, with the Twins and Royals currently holding it, and the Red Sox half a game behind Kansas City now in that race.
Kansas City, man. Seth Lugo has been such a good pickup for them.
One guy who does follow it all is our good friend Brett Boone with his Odyssey podcast, and has been joining us pretty much every week. It's awesome to have him in a Big League Wednesday. Brett Boone will be with us to talk about the baseball pennant races and more coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. About to find out who has the better Hawaiian tan between Stephen Woods or our next guest, Brett Boone, who was in Hawaii when we talked to him last week. Of course, it's a trick question. The correct answer is always me. I've always got the better tan than either of you, right? Don't you think?
You're just tan.
I'm just tan. I've just got the natural tan.
Boone looks like he's... Boone's owned a tanning bed, I guarantee you.
Let's
ask him.
We'll find out.
100%.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I mean, Brian Giles probably let him use his at some point, for sure. Now, while you were gone, we also gave Brett Boone his own walk-up music. So you'll hear that right after traffic on 97.3.
It was literally his walk-up
music. Yeah, it was.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Crazy Town, Butterfly. Fantastic.
Didn't take long for Woods to identify.
Rest in peace, Shifty.
Brett Boone's walk-up music. And joining us right now, Odyssey MLB Insider, Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett, also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. You made it back safely from the islands, Brett?
I did. I appreciate the music again, Ben. looking out for. I would, if that was, you really knew who that was right now?
I mean, we didn't tell him. Yeah,
I met Shifty.
We talked about it a couple weeks ago when the lead singer passed away.
I met Shifty before. That song was on one of my adult league teams when we needed a rally. We threw that on, and it worked every single time. Every single time. So it was a very special place. I had no idea that was your walk-up.
Oh, yeah, it's great. No lyrics. Didn't know what the lyrics were. Didn't know anything. It's just the... Well, as the people, it was just the vibe.
The vibe, you know, that it gave you. Now, I had a question. So Ben said, who has the better Hawaiian tan? I burn on my legs and I tan on my arms and face. This is the first color my legs have gotten in years. But I said, I bet Brett Boone has a really nice tan. Have you owned a tanning bed in your life?
I have not. I'll tell you what I do. Here's the secret.
All right, give it to
me. You go to Hawaii, you head to toe, sunblock, whatever you need to do. I always, you know, I'll be out by the pool. I'll be under an umbrella. Then I come home and I go get a spray tan. And it's perfect.
Spray tan. Tan in a can.
Preserving the skin. Have the excuse to look like you've been in Jamaica for months. Oh. Great.
I've never done a spray tan.
What did you know about Brian Giles' tanning habits?
Brian was always tan and... He had a tanning booth at his house.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So you didn't buy tanning bed. I want to know, what's the stupidest thing you did buy?
Yeah, Kenny Powers purchase? Like the tanning bed, the jet ski. What was your dumb thing you bought?
Dumbest thing I bought. I bought a lot of dumb things.
I would have too.
Big league money.
I would have too.
You can go. That was probably not the best purchase, but whatever.
Now, I was in Vegas once, and I came home, and I won some money, and I just went to the car dealer. No, I called this. I always wanted a big truck.
Yeah.
And this is nothing against big truck guys, because there's a time and a place for it. But you can't park them. They're tough to steer.
100%.
I just make a call. I said, "Hey, I'm gonna buy this truck." I said, "All right." I got it all. I got it all. The dually,
like the big wheels and stuff too.
The dually. Oh my god!
About it, you know? They give me this truck and they said, "All right, here it is." And I said, "All right, here." And I handed them the money and they said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I was going to pay in cash. I wasn't going to finance it." They said, "Yeah, but we didn't think it was actually cash." I said, "Yes, here."
No, real cash.
Oh, you want big money?
You want big money?
Now I got this big truck sitting in my. It doesn't fit in the garage. I mean, it's big. I had it low. You know, I had it jacked up. Big tires.
Yeah.
And I drove, and I actually liked driving it, but I drove it for a little bit, and it didn't fit anywhere, and I ended up selling it to a guy that loved it. He got a hell of a deal.
Yeah, so, he probably took it to a ranch.
That was that great of a story,
he took it to a ranch somewhere. Yeah, he took it to a ranch somewhere where he could actually,
where it belongs,
put it to use. You know?
Right. I needed to, you know what I was doing? I was laundering money. I needed to get some cash.
You're supposed to make money, not lose money when you do that, Brett.
That is phenomenal.
That's true.
Oh, dude, that's so good, man. No, we had a great time out there. What island were you on?
We were in Kona.
Okay, yeah, we were on Kauai, and it was
far as possible.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. I'm happy to be back because I missed all of you guys, yourself included. But talk about those days last forever out there. I mean, you wake up and you're like, oh my god,
they really do. Ask Paulie. He woke me up at 3:30 to come on the show.
Oh boy, I've already committed to broadcasting.
I had some shows at 5 in the morning, and I'm sitting out on the porch, and it's dark. And my wife later is like, "Are you serious?" I said, "Well, what do you want me to do? You want me to wake you up?" She goes, "I can hear you. Everybody can hear you."
We had him on. It was 5:30 Hawaii time last week. We had him on, and he was talking like this. He was out on the patio and trying not to wake anybody up.
Oh, I love it. I know. I've already committed to broadcasting live out there next year because we are absolutely going back. But I'll take the equipment, get up at 3 a.m. and come do the show with the fellas. But so you do hits for other radio stations too, like our pal Softy up in Seattle, who's one of our favorite guests and, you know, huge M's guy. And you got,
just tell me about that. He said to say hi. I just played in his golf tournament on Monday.
He's the best, man. We love Softy.
Softy took me to the airport. I said, "Softy, I got to go. I need a ride." He said, "Let's go." So, I've known Softy since I was a kid. I mean, I remember him back way back in the day when he was big Softy. Now he's... Then he went to skinny softy. Now he's kind of middle of the road softy.
Middle softy. Yeah, that's what I consider myself, more of a middle softy at this point in my life. Boone, you're talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning. So I'm sure he's asking you kind of the same stuff we are. I mean, the teams are, you know, both kind of fighting for a spot in the playoffs. And, you know, the Mariners, they made some moves. They've gotten some pieces. They look pretty good. Padres are playing. They're one of the hottest teams in baseball, if not the hottest team in baseball since like June 19th. Or something I saw, but the M's, you know, are they going to have enough to kind of push through in a pretty tough AL?
Well, I look at the Mariners and they're, man, that pitching staff they've got is so good, 1 through 5, and that offense all year has been so not even mediocre. I mean, it's been the bottom of the league, and we've been talking about it. What needs to happen to secure a place for Seattle? And I think you just have to play middle of the pack, play decent baseball offensively. I think there are additions. I think Arozarena and Justin Turner are going to be not only from a physical standpoint, I think their presence in that clubhouse is a big deal. Crawford and Julio have been on the IL for a while, and they're coming back here soon. Obviously, Julio being the star of that team, but hasn't had an all-star type season. But I think a guy like a Arozarena, who you watch him, you've been watching him for years. He's got a pretty big personality.
Does.
But the young Julio Rodriguez does too. And I think in a way, it'll almost be a challenge to Julio, you know, from a entertainment value. I think that might be a good thing for him. And then there's Justin Turner, who I was just up in Seattle, and I had some events up there. I had a dinner with Justin Turner, and it was the first time I met him, and I just sat and talked to him for a while. And he's kind of that – he's the last of the my era-type guys, you know, the way he talks. I felt like I was talking to a guy that I played with, you know, the verbiage coming out of his mouth. But really great guy. I was obviously well-respected around baseball. He's 39 years old. He's kind of a – you know, he's kind of that guy in the room that sits at the end of the clubhouse and everybody comes to him for wisdom, I think. Like a J.D. Martinez type. So I think he's going to be really good. And I think the sneaky move that Seattle made is they got Garcia from the Toronto Blue Jays, which really fills a hole in their bullpen because of the Matt Brash thing. Matt Brash is a young star.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bullpen guy.
Don't we know it?
High leverage. Yeah, high leverage guy that he got Tommy John, so he's missing the season. So getting Garcia was big. But 1 through 5 in that starting rotation for the Seattle Mariners, I think it's unmatched in all of baseball. I think they're interchangeable number ones. I think Castillo is called their number one at the top. He could be the number 5 easily. This Brian Wu kid, when he stays healthy, is unbelievable. Miller's very good. Kirby, Gilbert was the all-star. So I think they're the only one that have 5 interchangeable number ones, but you know, they got to play a little bit better. They lost yesterday. That American League West is going to be a battle, and I'm waiting for Texas. You know, I look at Texas, I go, they got Eovaldi, Scherzer's back. You got a Gray type of Haney, DeGrom sitting there in the wings. When's he going to come back? Does he come back? There's a lot of ifs for Texas, but I'm thinking a healthy DeGrom throwing away. You know, DeGrom throws when he's healthy, followed up by an Eovaldi and a Scherzer. Could they make it interesting? But the longer we go, it doesn't look like they're really going to. You never know. And then Houston. You never know. Houston, they've been the juggernaut at the top of that division for a while. So I think that West race is going to be one of the most intriguing down the stretch.
Yeah, it just feels like the Rangers may be running out of time. They're 8.5 out, you know?
That's a Boch team. They won last year, they'll win next year. But this year, they'll take the year off.
Take the year off. You know. Exactly. Exactly. Well, Benny, I'm sure you want to ask him about our beloved Padres.
Yeah, I wanted to turn our attention to the Padres, Brett. And, you know, they've got this big stretch now coming, like one off day now in the next month. Joe Musgrove is supposed to be coming back this weekend. So the planning is, now how do they do that? Are they going to go to a 6-man rotation? Do you take one of the guys like Randy Vasquez or the newcomer Martin Perez out of the rotation to put in Joe? You want to save some innings, obviously, for Michael King going forward. Kind of what would be your thinking on the strategy of what the Padres should do pitching-wise going forward here?
And, Brett, is there a downside to a 6-man rotation in your opinion?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I think with the guys you got, Dylan Cease, King, the way, you know, and King was an interesting one for me. Waldron's done a great job.
Paul. Yep.
King was interesting to me because early in the season, he had a couple rough outings and man, he would dominate. because he's in the bullpen. And it was kind of a, not that he hasn't started before, but he hasn't been an everyday starter. Like, he knows he's coming to the ballpark, I'm going to get 35 starts this year. He's never been that guy until now. So I think it was a little bit of an adjustment period for him. I think this King guy going forward is going to be really good. But I think for this Padres team to really go deep, and you got to have a Musgrove. You got to have a Musgrove that they're used to having, a horse at the top of that rotation. So I think let's get him back, see how he's pitching, and everything else will just kind of fall into line. You know, obviously at the trading deadline, I was interested with the Padres. By the way, I think the Padres did a great job. I think we covered it last week. By bolstering that bullpen, now arguably the best bullpen to go in the National League, in baseball in general, and just getting those the Scott and Adam, putting him in front of Suarez, who is one of my favorite guys. Suarez, he's just been so good and one of the great closers of the game. I just think that let Musgrove go. Let's see how he is. Is he Musgrove? Is he close to what we're used to seeing, that horse at the top of the rotation? If he is, everything else will just fall in the line. Offense is doing great. It looks, you know what it looks like? I was watching the game last night. There's a cohesiveness. These guys are actually having fun.
They are.
And, you know, it sounds kind of corny for me to say that, because, you know, it's not cool to say that. But there's a lot to it, because for a lot of years, I didn't believe in that, in coming to the ballpark. I was a business guy. I came to the ballpark, I'm swinging hard, and yeah, all this foo-foo, oh, the camaraderie, this and that. I thought it was a bunch of nonsense. Give me the best talent. Let's go crush people. But as I got a little bit older and a little more experience, I found that the teams I played on that really had that cohesiveness, that really got in the foxhole with each other at 7 o'clock every night, man, you had a lot better chance and you had a lot more success, and you could actually genuinely smile and enjoy what you're doing. And when you do that, you kind of forget all the pressure and the scoreboard, it kind of goes away. And you just kind of have that, you know, and it's not really words. It's a look. It's a wink. It's a nod. Hey, we got this, and we don't have to worry about it. A little bit of that going on with this team. I think they really genuinely like each other, genuinely like playing together. Man, that's a big feather to have in your cap going into the postseason.
One more thing, Brett. I don't think I've ever asked you this, but as an infielder, what do you think of Ha-Sung Kim? I mean, we've had him for 4 years. His metrics look always really good because he draws walks. His defensive stats look good. Sometimes the eye test is not as good. He goes in slumps. He makes some base running errors. Just from what you've seen, how do you evaluate his career so far?
I think he's overachieved. I think he's done more than people expected. I think he's a really good player. Okay. I think he steals bases. I think he's got that ability to play anywhere on the field. I mean, Kim, you could probably put him in center field and be a Gold Glove center fielder. He's obviously playing short, second. He's done that quite a bit in his career. I don't know. Going forward with this Padres team, I'd like to see, because we always talk about and kind of laugh about how many shortstops are on this team. And it's interesting how, you know, none of them get to play short except
right.
for Kim. So I think this offseason, you've got a lot. You've got a Cronenworth. You've got a Kim. You've got a Bogarts, who, you know, if you ever traded, it'd be a tough trade.
Tatis,
you know,
Merrill. Yeah, there's a lot of shortstops.
So many.
Merrill's running around in center field. You got so many shortstops that I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens this offseason. I just love when Cronenworth gets to play second base. I think that's where his value is. I think that's where he thinks his value is. And I think when guys are in positions that they're comfortable in, they tend to play better.
Interesting. All right, we're out of time. I want to follow up on the second baseman and how Xander's been doing with you maybe next week, Brett, but always appreciate it. Welcome back from the... What was he? I was going to just say, welcome back from the islands and thanks for joining us, but I thought he had something else to throw in there.
Oh, he said you got it.
Oh, thanks, Brett. I appreciate it. I didn't hear what he said. So
he's very tired. He's had to cover for me.
Yeah, I did. So, all right, Brett Boone.
Thanks, buddy.
And, of course, Insider Calls, Odyssey Insider Calls, presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. No, I thought maybe he wanted to jump in with a quick comment on Xander and how he's transitioned to second base.
You got it.
I think he said you got it.
But we'll talk about that probably in the future. But he likes Ha-Sung Kim.
Be interested to see what the lineup looks like today, if this injury is going to keep him out for more than one day and what that looks like.
It's weird that, I mean, he did have a dive on
Sunday, and he came up, but he always kind of looks injured when he dives, and it could have been from that, it could have been nothing, it could have been from sleeping funny on it. Have no idea whether that's going to linger. But, you know, Tyler Wade went and did a nice job last night.
Very nice
shortstop.
Job.
You don't expect him to be your starting shortstop on a caliber, a team like this. With so many shortstops,
Tyler Wade
is the one who's out there starting. Seems wrong, but certainly did a nice job last night. Made the plays he needed to make and contributed with a couple of hits.
It's what we've been talking about, man. The dream of being able to plug guys in different spots and they're actually playing and performing. And think about how many guys are playing, quote unquote, out of position this year. It's a lot.
All right, Rindle Report is coming up next, kicking off our 9 o'clock hour. Have you ever heard of a cotton candy burrito before?
This infuriated me.
It's coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.